Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the show. Today's episode is actually the last episode for now. This has been something which I've put time, love, and energy into for nearly 6 years. The first episode of the show was back in August 2018. It's March 2024. And I think, as with all things, there is a time to not say goodbye forever, but at least say sayonara or so long for now. And the reason is that I've put a lot of effort into this, and I also recognize that there are other people who want to carry the torch. Maybe the brand training business will be around, but there will be more of an emphasis on content that's written. And that's something which I will look to the team to help me with in sometime in 2024. But every single week, with one exception, back in 2019, there has been an episode waiting for you every Thursday on your podcast platform of choice. And you've heard me say that, use that phrase a number of times. I am doing well in my own business, and so much so that I have to focus more time on my business. And I've done my very best over these 6 years, and you've been there perhaps for part of it, or all of it, or some of it, or just recently. And that's been to share my knowledge and, more importantly, the knowledge, the wonderful experiences of my guests over the years. And it's quite fitting that I'm going to end today with an episode with a friend, because that's how actually how I began the show back in August 2018. I had a friend, a fellow trainer on the show, and that was a nice way to introduce people to the world of training business. And I'm doing exactly the same today. And it's kind of with a heavy heart that I'm signing off. But as I said, it may not be forever. It's just for now. I'm going to focus more and more on my other podcast, which is the Sales Coach Podcast, and also other things I'm doing in terms of revenue. So if I have in any way, and if my guests have in any way, helped you in some small way over the years, well, that's enough for me. I've never asked anyone to pay for anything or buy anything. What I will say, and this is the first time I'm saying this, is you will see me on LinkedIn Learning. A couple of my courses are about to be published, I think in April or May, as I'm speaking. It's the 5th of March, 2024. And there will be a couple of episodes to come in some form in the future, I'm sure, but it will not be this weekly show of one guest. Let me just say that for now. That's the hint. It could be something else in a different guise in the future. But I have another podcast called the Sales Coach Podcast. That's going to be something which I'll put a lot more energy into for obvious reasons, because it's closely linked to my business. But if you ever wanted to know what I look like or see a look or sound like in person, the closest you're going to get, apart from hearing me speak on stage, will be over on LinkedIn Learning, because it's something I've also put a lot of time into recently, developing courses. And a couple of those courses will be on LinkedIn Learning very soon. And if you've not seen me before, only heard my voice, well, that's a chance to see me. So if there's one thing I could ask you for after 6 years of doing this, if you could support me in some way by just watching one of those courses or leaving a comment, that'd be it. And that's all I'm going to ask you. And it's all I've ever really asked. And it's just been a joy doing this every single week. And so without any drum roll, I'd like to say thank you. And you're going to enjoy this week's episode. It's with a guy called Andy Storch. Andy is someone I met back actually in 2018, the year the podcast began. And Andy has been in training and development. He's doing more speaking than ever. And it's a really, really interesting episode, because Andy talks about what he's done. He's moved to Barcelona just like me, but with his family. And also he's still doing his thing. And we're talking today about his brand, why he started doing what he's doing, how he came to be doing what he's doing now, and what the future holds for him. And I think it's a fantastic episode that you're really going to enjoy.
Hey, and welcome to the trainingbusiness.com podcast. Every week, we bring you exciting news and interviews with training business experts and training business entrepreneurs from around the world. Thanks for tuning into today's episode. Here's your host, Mark Garrett Hayes.
Andy, welcome to the show.
Mark, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
We met, oh, good Lord, I think 2017, thereabouts. And recently, you came with your family to Barcelona, where I'm living. And I saw that in line, and we got in touch. And what you've done very successfully, from the sound of things, is you moved your business to Europe, where you are now. Both of us are in Barcelona as we record. Right. But you still kept that that business with the clients you have. It's interesting how that can be done so quickly these days. People move to another country, but there's no interruption to their business.
Yeah, it's amazing and very cool that we met. I think it was 2018. It might have been right around there at the Upreneur conference.
That's right. That's actually
kind of kept in touch. And interesting that we both end up moving, for similar reasons to Barcelona. For me, running my business mostly virtually. Most of my clients are still in the United States, where I'm from. And to be able to run it from here is a dream. There's some time zone, issues to deal with. Like I think you have, 1 hour difference where you came from. It's, 6 to 9 for me. Yeah. But if it wasn't for the pandemic, this would not be possible. Like my business is speaking. Previously, it was more facilitation and training. It was all in person until 2020. And then it's shifted to mostly virtual since then. So, there's a lot of bad things that happened around that time, but it's one of those things that completely changed my life and many others and made this move possible where I can go live in Europe or wherever I want to live. It's amazing.
And no regrets so far.
Absolutely no regrets so far. We were chatting before we started recording. Yeah. I am 6 months into living in Barcelona. I moved with my wife and 2 kids and our dog, and we are loving life here so far. It's been great.
And on your LinkedIn profile, you describe yourself as a keynote speaker, trainer, founder, host of the Talent Development Think Tank podcast. I think when we first met, you were focusing on more of the training, and it sounds like more of the speaking is what you do now. Is that the core of your business at the moment?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Mark. So when we met in 2018, I was working sort of as an independent partner for this small little boutique, we'll call it like a training firm.
Yeah.
And there were maybe like 15, we called them partners, who were all 100% contract, like commission only kind of sales. And we were basically selling and running other people's training programs. So these like different little providers had created these like leadership development, sales training, business acumen, stuff like that. And I would sell the program, and also I could get certified to facilitate the program. And so I could sell the program and get a commission, usually about 25%. And then I could also run the program, go and like fly somewhere and run that program and get a day rate for that as well.
Right.
And so it's a pretty good little business, good way to make money as you get to know those programs that you're offering. And you obviously like it's still B2B sales and you're finding the clients and you're looking for the opportunity. But along the way, like I was also like, whatever reason, I got really into sort of building a personal brand. And I had started my first podcast, I think in 2017. And then the second one, which is about talent development in 2018, you and I were just kind of chatting about that as a way to connect with potential clients in that space. And I think there was kind of an inkling in my mind, in the back of my mind, I thought it'd be cool. I see what these like, these people are doing that have created their own programs or content or speaking based on some content they've created in their book. And that was kind of a dream for me. I thought that'd be really cool. I wasn't sure what it was or what I had to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And then actually in 2019, November 2019, I was at Upreneur again, the second year I attended. And it was over the lunch break. I was hanging out with a guy. I don't know if you remember Philip Van Dusen from the US as well. He was interviewing me for his YouTube channel and we were just chatting. And for some reason, this idea hit me like a lightning bolt at that time that like I could take all the work that I had been doing, all this personal development work, all this learning of all these different things to try to build a business around my strengths and use that to help other people with their careers. And the idea for my book kind of hit me at that point. And so going into the beginning of 2020, I decided to write this book, which you see behind me now, Own Your Career, Own Your Life. And my idea was, I'm going to publish this and build a business around it and become a keynote speaker. So that really was kind of like the dream for me. Now, 2 months later, the pandemic hit. We talked about that already.
Yeah.
And when that happened, not only did my whole business was like flying around running in-person, workshops on leadership development, stuff like that. Not only did that completely disappear, but I felt like my dreams of becoming a keynote speaker disappeared as well. Because it was like, I'm going to write this book and become a speaker. And the pandemic hit. I'm like, oh, maybe not. And you know, I remember those later in that year in 21 being on like Clubhouse. You remember those days?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In these Clubhouse. In these rooms with keynote speakers, listening to these experienced keynote speakers talk. Mm. And they're like trying to put on a good face. If I was reading through the lines, I'm like, they're not getting very much business right now. Like, this is tough times.
Yeah.
But I just kept building the brand and kind of creating content around it. And eventually I started booking some virtual speaking gigs. You know, we call them webinars or virtual keynotes, whatever it may be. A few came in here and there, and then getting more. I also created a training program around my book. And, but I really started getting more and more demand for keynotes around this topic of owning your career, especially in 2022, which many might remember as maybe people were calling it the Great Resignation. There was a lot
That's
of
right.
shakeup. A lot of big companies were saying, like, how do we keep our best people? It's kind of ironic and funny to think today in 2024, companies are laying people off left and right. But in 2022, they were like, how do we keep our people? We need to teach them to own their career. So I started getting a lot of demand around that and then like kind of building the brand. And so yeah, I went from like selling other people's programs and running them in person to creating my own content. And now I have like sort of multiple keynotes that I run and a training program I run. And it's almost all virtual, so I can kind of do it from anywhere. And then along the way, I also started a membership community for people in the talent development space that came from my conference. There's sort of two parts to my business. One is the speaking and training for companies on career and leadership development. And then the other part is running the membership community and a conference that I run occasionally as well for people in talent development.
So when you say membership, it's something you charge for. So it's an income stream.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, it started as a conference. Well, it started as a podcast. And then okay. in 2019, my friend Bennett, who was my business partner at the time, a business partner and best friend, I don't remember if it was his idea or my idea, but we're like going to these conferences. You know, go to these conferences and you're like, just to try to meet clients, you know, a prospect, and they're like so boring. And we're like, there's got to be a better way. So like, I don't know. We just came up with this idea. Let's create our own. We knew all these great facilitators. We were facilitators of workshops. And so we created a conference and we spent 9 months building it in 2019. We got some great speakers and the conference was a big hit. We sold it out small. It was like 100 something people. And it was a big hit. And that was in January 2020. And then 2 months later, the pandemic hit. And it was like, okay, we were selling tickets for the next one and that's not going to happen. I had been a part of multiple masterminds and membership communities for entrepreneurs. They've always been really helpful for me. And so I felt like there was an opportunity there to create a membership community for people in the talent development space who I knew through the podcast and whatnot. And I couldn't come to an agreement with the organization I was working for at the time or under on how it was going to run. And so that was kind of the impetus for me to go completely on my own in, I think it was April 2020, so right after the pandemic. And I launched that community. We had a handful of people join and, you know, more and more over the years. And so now, it's something we charge a monthly or annual fee for. I've got about 120 members in there. We have, you know, regular calls and bring in guest speakers. And it's all about helping people in that role get better at their job, connect with each other, build connections, community, that sort of thing. And they also happen to be, you know, a lot of them happen to be ideal clients for me as well. So it's a good way for me to build relationships. It's not like I'm selling to them all the time, mm-hmm. but just to kind of build relationships and find out what's going on with people, which has been really nice.
So those are people who might be working in learning and development or talent development within an organization, or are they freelancers or both?
Correct. So most of them are practitioners.
Right.
I delineate between practitioners and providers. So most of them are working in companies as practitioners in learning and development, talent development. And then we do have a few providers, entrepreneurs in that space as well. In fact, I started a mastermind within the group specifically for entrepreneurs in the learning and development space to kind of, we have separate calls where we can kind of work with each other to support each other in growing our business in corporate talent development.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a huge marketplace for that. A lot of people who want to, you know, work with someone like you and figure out, how do I get into training? I've done my corporate thing mm-hmm. and I now want to write a book, or I want to create courses, and I want to get my personal brand out there. In terms of your personal brand, what for you do you think has made it most successful? And the reason I'm asking that is that many people think, you know, I'll build a brand, but I'll bring in, you know, other people. And it's something that's not synonymous with me. Yeah. It sounds like you made a decision to say, no, Andy Stork is the brand, and I'm going to be on stage speaking to my audience, and this is my my story that I want to share. So you are your business in many respects.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of the idea of building a personal brand. You know, even going back to following Chris Ducker, who was at the conference years ago, and he would kind of say he had a book on it, and he'd say, like, this is the brand that you can take with you everywhere, anywhere, right? You can change your business and completely start a new business and bring people with you. And I believe it's true. So I've been big on building my own personal brand. Now, I think there are trade-offs to that. I see people who have built companies that are more about the company brand and they're able to sell those. I think it's harder to sell.
Yes. Right?
You know, I'm not going to sell Andy Storch Inc. to somebody else, but you know, there's maybe parts of it that could be transferable later on if that's something I really wanted to do. I'm not really sure. But I really like the idea of building that personal brand because then it's something that I can shift and do different things with over time. Because people know, like, and trust me, at least some people do, right? Corporate clients. Yeah. Right. And, enough to like keep me afloat, right? Running my business. And so it's not just about this one topic that I provide, but they might say, hey, we need help with this other adjacent thing. We like working with you. What can you do? And then I'll say, okay, X, Y, Z. As far as how I've gone about building that brand, I remember in the early days, it actually started in the beginning when I was involved in a membership community for dads on Facebook. And I started like sharing a lot of content there and realizing like, oh, I have a voice. I have things to share. Then I started my first podcast, which is about entrepreneurship, just to learn and interview people. And then the Talent Development Podcast are two podcasts that I've had over the years. But then, you know, as I was going out on my own and growing this business in the, what I say, the B2B space, right? Selling into corporate, I see LinkedIn as like the place to be, of course, right? So I've been sharing content pretty consistently on LinkedIn for the last 5-6 years, as well as connecting with a lot of other people, looking to support other people. And I've built the brand where I've gotten inbound leads. I've found clients on LinkedIn. I've also made a lot of friends on LinkedIn. I mean, it's just like, it's a great place to be. So, and I mess around with some other platforms sometimes, but for me, it's the podcast and LinkedIn have been the main avenues. But I always want to make, you know, turn those into personal, like real relationships as quickly as possible, because that's where the best opportunities are going to come from.
What about your book? You wrote Own Your Career, Own Your Life. It's quite prominent behind you. It's on your LinkedIn profile. Yeah. Has that, I mean, people would say, well, you don't make money from the book sales, but you make money from having a book because it's a $25 business card. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, that was my philosophy going in, and I can't believe I forgot to say the book because it's a big part of my brand.
Yeah.
I took an online course when I started working on the book. I took an online course run by a woman named Honoré Corder, who is like, she's published over 50 or 60 books, and it's kind of all self-published. So she's kind of a guru in this space. And I'm like, I'm not going to try to figure this out on my own. I know I'm going to self-publish it. So I'm going to hire somebody who's done it. And as most of us, I hope most of us are doing, right? Especially if you're a coach or consultant, like make sure you're willing to invest in your own business, your own learning as well. Right. And I do that all the time. And so I learned a lot from her about how to like launch it and also build a brand around it. And one of the mantras I remember all the time that she taught me that I try to teach others who are publishing books is that it's a marathon, not a sprint, which is a simple way to say like, hey, put a lot of effort into having a big launch if you can, but remember that it's not about that launch. It's not about the book sales over time. It's about the brand that you're building around it over time so that people see you as an expert and they want to hire you for your expertise. So my book came out in November 2020. So we're 3.5 years in. I'm still posting about it daily. I send books out to people all the time. As you can see, I have a poster of it behind me on my wall. Yeah. I put it everywhere because I want people to like connect me with this and this concept so that I am a sought after speaker in this career development space. And I don't think you have to have a book to build a business as a speaker or trainer by any means. I've seen people do it without it, but it's definitely very helpful because it does kind of set you up as an expert. And I know, just like with a podcast or anything else, that just because I publish a book doesn't mean anybody's going to find it or read it. They're not, right? But so I'm going to try to get in front of as many people as possible. In fact, one of the best things I did when I published the book, and I got this idea from Honoré, I think, and I tell other people this, is I ordered 1,000 copies of the book so that I had no excuse not to send those out. And I've just been sending them out consistently for the last 3 years to potential clients, influential people. I don't ask them for anything. Some people do nothing with it. Some people post about it. And then some people even hire me, which is great. And so, you know, your point about the money, I might make a couple $100 a month, maybe from book sales, but I've made thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars from people hiring me for keynotes and training from the concepts of the book.
So when you say you send out the book, do you literally physically post it? I used to do that. Or do you, is there another mechanism which you use to get it to people seamlessly without traipsing back and forth with parcels to the post office?
So this has changed recently. And this is one, if you know, you asked me about my life in Barcelona, absolutely love it. But there's always going to be like little things that you miss. This is one that makes me a little sad. I have to figure this out because I did used to send physical books out every week from my home in Orlando where I moved because 90% of my clients and people I was connecting with were in the United States. So it was very cheap to be able to send books around inside the country. Outside the country gets a lot more expensive, even from the US across the border to Canada was like the same as sending to Spain. I don't know why.
Really?
But yeah, the price, it's just very strange once you cross the border. So yeah, I haven't been doing as much since I moved. But when I was there, I did start out, when I started out, I was going to the post office like every week with a bunch of stuff, writing the address and then like standing there in line and that sort of, and it wasn't terrible. But then I discovered some great software called, I think it was called ShipStation. And basically I could print the labels at home. I had the weight already, I knew priced in, whatever, and I would just stick the label on there. And then I could either give it to my postman or I could just drop it at the post office without waiting in line. I think I started using that a year or two ago and that was a game changer. It definitely saved me a ton of time and it just charges you directly. And so, but I still wanted to do it myself because I personally signed every single book that I sent out and not just a signature, but I would write a note. And if it's somebody that I knew or it's personal, I would write a personal note in there. And, you know, people mostly didn't say anything about it, but I want it to be personal. I want it to be significant. People know that I care. And so I do miss being able to do that a little bit, even though it's time consuming. I do think it makes a difference and people appreciate it.
Are there triggers in the book or something in the book which, you know, intentionally directs people to you as a speaker? Or do they read the material and go, you know what, that's good stuff. Let's get Andy in to talk about that thing. I mean, have you figured out a way to use the book, if you will, as a kind of a wedge to get the door open?
I wouldn't say that I did a really great job with that because I think at the time my vision was I'm going to publish this and I want to become a speaker, but I don't think I had done very many keynotes. And so I probably still had some imposter syndrome or humility around it. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to read this and hire me. I may have mentioned it once in there. I was more focused on making sure there were things for readers to do and take action because I want it to be really valuable for people who read it.
Okay.
And then hope that if it gets in the hands of someone that could hire people, that they would want to hire me from it. And actually, like the first virtual keynote I got came soon after I published the book from somebody who found me on LinkedIn, got on the early reader team, reached out to me and said, hey, we have this career week coming up. Would you be interested in speaking? And I was like, yeah, heck yeah. And so that was really cool. So I don't know if there's like direct triggers in there. And obviously, like, I could point people to my website. I created bonus resources that get them on my email list. I've worked over the years to try to, you know, optimize the website, make it a little better. Well, I say that like I haven't put a ton of effort into it. And I think one of the reasons for that is I felt like in my like sort of my humble mind or the way I think about it is like, oh, no one's going to my website. I have to build a relationship with them. But it does happen, right? Like I get inbound. Yeah. I don't get a ton of inbound leads, but I've gotten to a place where I've built a big enough brand that I do get some inbound requests. And I'd say most of the time I asked them, how did you find me? It was LinkedIn or the podcast. But every now and then someone's like, oh, I just searched and I found you. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I need to invest some in SEO.
Yeah.
So my team and I were working on that a little bit as well. But we try to make sure we have some good content on the website so people go there and find. And the first thing they see is a picture of me on stage speaking. So they know, okay, this guy is a speaker. He looks like someone who's confident on stage. So like, let's think about bringing him in.
What percentage of your business then comes from referrals, would you think? You know, people say, you got to hire Andy. Andy was great. We sometimes call them stage side leads where someone says, great talk. Love that thing. So the website is one avenue, but what percentage would you think comes from people directly referring A to B and B to you?
You know what? I feel embarrassed to say it's very low. Like I talked to some people who were like, all their business comes from referrals. And
it depends,
mine,
really, doesn't it?
Yeah, mine is very low. And I don't know if that's because I'm not asking enough or I'm not that referable. I don't know. Yeah. You're getting the total honest, authentic.
Yeah, I can tell.
I've built a business that I love. I'm proud of. I've made way more money than I ever did when I was working. And I'm very proud of what we've done. But I'm still learning and trying to get better all the time. And I think I probably could get better at getting those referrals, reaching back out and to clients and saying, like, hey, who else do you know? But I think that, one thing that might be connected to that is the fact that most of my keynotes are virtual and they're inside of companies. So they're not like conferences where there are other potential clients in there.
Okay.
I do sometimes get like, oh, I did it for this group. And then another group in the company wants to bring me in or something like that as well.
That's interesting. So the talks are very much internal there to a captured audience inside an organization.
100%. A company says, hey, we want you to speak to our employees. We've got, 2,000 employees or 10,000 employees or whatever. We want you to either speak to this subgroup or we want you to, it's an open keynote to everybody. And not everybody shows up. Let's say 800 to 1,000 show up. It's on Zoom or Microsoft Teams. I try to make it as interactive as possible. But it's closed for within that company. There's nobody from outside of the company that's joining the keynote.
So if we fast forward into the future and you say, I'm still in Barcelona 5 years from now, but I wouldn't mind thinking about my exit strategy so that if I remove myself or extricate myself from the business, there still is a brand. I mean, is that something you think about or is that something you have plans in place for?
Yeah, I think that's very possible. I see the avenue for that. And the main one that I see is, A, I'm going to be publishing more books. I've got a couple more in the works.
Okay.
Creating more content and thought leadership. B, I think for keynote speaking, no one's necessarily going to replace me. That's something I would still actively do and enjoy, but it might be limited because it's high fee. And then if I have training program, like I have one training program now, if I can create more, those are things that can be licensed out or facilitated by other people. Like I've had one big rollout with a software company where I didn't run all the training programs. I hired three contractors, people I knew who were facilitators who were aligned with my message, and they ran the programs. And quite frankly, I think they were at least one or two of them were better than me. Like I'm a pretty good facilitator. I don't have any like delusion that I'm the best in the world. I want to find people who are better than me to run my stuff and me just like create and, create the brand and sell the deal. So I think that's an important part of it too. Like, you have to have confidence that you're good, but you don't have to believe you're the best. You can find people even better who will help you build your brand. So I think the path that I would love to see is we get the content into more companies, but it's either being run internally and like a licensing deal, or it is being facilitated by, people on my team who are helping me. So I'm not doing as much of that work.
Now you said the word team twice. So I have to ask you about that. What is your team and what do they do?
That's a good question. So I'm a big believer in because I've just read and learned so much from so many other experts. I'm a big believer in trying to focus most of your time on the things that only you can do or that you're good at, right? And hiring people to help you with the other things. And so I don't have any other employees, but I do have other contractors who have done work for me for a long time, including number one, my assistant turned more, I call her more my chief operating head of operations or integrator, Stephanie. She's worked for me for 3.5 years. She's in the U.S., and she runs all the operations behind the scenes for my book, my business, the podcast, the membership community, managing like contracts and payments with clients and things like that. I've hired a second VA that's more like administrative that we can give tasks to who are like the stuff that we don't really want to do. That's like moving data from this place or that, or helping be prepped for meetings and things like that. I have a marketing VA named Jan in the Philippines, who's done work for me for like 2 years now. And he actually creates a lot of content for me, graphics and content for LinkedIn. He's very good. Like he'll go through my book and then like create poster content or something like, and then I can review it and tweak it. And then I have a podcast editor, right? Producer Finn in Scotland, who produces my podcast now for the last 2 or 3 years. And then, like I said, I have had in the past a couple people facilitating programs for me on a contract basis, and hopefully we'll be doing that again. Unfortunately, the woman who was doing most of the programs for me took a job recently. I guess I wasn't giving her enough programs, or she actually wanted a new challenge. And so anyway, I have to find somebody that can handle like West Coast stuff, but I've got a couple other people in mind. And it's a great opportunity, I think, for people that love to facilitate programs that maybe don't have the content or the sales ability. Yeah. As you know, Mark, like there's a big delineation. There's lots of people who want to coach, who want to facilitate, who want to speak, but maybe are not, don't have the confidence or haven't figured out yet how to like sell their own things. They're happy to, you know, do work under somebody else. And I've found some great people who are wonderful facilitators. And so hopefully I'll be contracting, bringing more of them on in the future too.
It's a totally different stream of revenue, where on the one hand you are the brand and everything you earn is linked to what you do. But then for some people, they would rather be running a team or running an organization and have other people deliver that training. And some people make a great success of one or the other. I'm not sure too many people do it extremely well both, because there's usually, you know, one takes most of the time and maybe the other one makes most of the
money. And if you're going to run the team, like let people do the thing that they're good at, because if you're a control freak or a micromanager, you're just going to drive yourself crazy. Like you really do. Yeah. It's not going to make things better. It's going to make them worse. And my dream is to have them just running it all and me not doing that much work. I'm not quite there yet, but we're working on it.
And just before we wrap up then, you mentioned a couple of books you're going to write, a couple of things in the works. So there are people who would say one book's enough. There are people that say, no, actually, the more books you write, the more of a footprint you have, the more likely it is people will find you.
Yeah.
How do you generate ideas for books? Have you a creative process that means you're not, you know, doing own your own life, own your career and own life part two? There's an actual new idea there. What's your process?
So I agree with you. Like everybody's situation is different. I don't think you should ever feel like you should do anything just because other people are doing. Like some people have one book and they build a business around it, or like they just don't want to do it again. It's like children. Like some people have no kids, some people have one kid, some people have two, five, whatever kids. Like you do what's right for you, or pets. And you know, the book, like I would be happy with the one, like marking this forever, but I have so many ideas for others, and I see the benefits of building a brand and business that come from it. That woman, Honore, I mentioned, who was kind of my coach and guru mentor in the book space, she would always say the number one sort of lead source for a book is another book. Like if you have a good book, you read it as a reader, right? You read a good book, you're like, I wonder what else this person has written, right? And so if you have multiple books and someone reads your book, they're going to probably want to read your other books. I have come up with multiple ideas, sometimes because I'm like, oh, I wonder what else I could write about. But usually they'll hit me because I'll just see an opportunity where like, oh, I could write more about this topic, or I'll post something on social media and then a friend will say like, hey, that's a whole book. Like that could be a book, right? You know, we don't have time to go into the whole story, but a couple of years ago I went through cancer and did all this research and stuff and made it through. And so then a lot of people were like, you have to write a book about that. And so I was like, okay, I probably will one day, and I've made notes about it. But I also think about things in terms of like, okay, what's going to be the best, most beneficial for me and my business at this point in time? And so one of the books I've been working on for the last year is a leadership book, because every company is investing in leadership development. There's a big need to help leaders become better. There's certainly not a dearth of resources already. There's like a million books, right? But I still think there are also plenty of opportunities there. And I think it would be very complimentary to my first book, which is to say, my first book is about teaching employees to take ownership of their careers so that they can achieve more. But I'm not delusional. I don't think that you can't get very far in corporate world without support from your manager. And so we also need managers. We need leaders to be great supportive leaders to support their people in owning their careers. So I've been working on that book that's about leadership. Another book I'm just starting to work on with a friend, it's going to be a collaboration, is about building your personal brand in the corporate space, because I see so much opportunity there. You know, you and I have built a business around our personal brands as entrepreneurs, but I think more and more there's an opportunity for people to be thinking about building their brand in the corporate space and building a career around that and getting future job and career opportunities based on the brand that they've built. And so that's something I'm thinking about. That's something I'm working on. And then I have a whole list of other future books. And so I know if I don't start writing them, then they're never going to get written or published. And last thing I'll say about that is like, I thought I had this kind of concept that came to my mind recently is that, it's cool to post content daily on LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever, and that could potentially help you build a relationship or find a client or just kind of slowly build your brand over time. But a book is something so much more significant. I think of it as legacy content. It's something that always going to be there, and that not only could it sit on somebody's desk and have more likelihood of getting me a deal, but I have two kids. It's also something that my kids could pick up later and be like, wow. Right now they make fun of me because they're like, oh, you wrote a book. It's really boring. But later in life, right, my kids are 8 and 10. My daughter's like, he wrote this book. It's really boring. But I was secretly just kind of proud. And later in life, they could be like, wow, my dad wrote these books. And here's some of his thoughts that are in there. And, you know, that's something I think advice I heard from someone else a long time ago that I come back to for other friends that are like thinking about a book, but they're scared of like it failing or you know, it not doing anything for them. And it's like, if you just wrote a book with your thoughts in it and your kids found it, would that be enough? And for a lot of people, I think it would be. And so it kind of creates that legacy for you.
And maybe, I've never heard it described as legacy content before. That's an extremely philosophical view.
Because it's going to live there forever. Like, no one's going to find your LinkedIn post in 2085.
They're not supposed to anyway, are they really?
Right. Yeah. But your book will probably be in a library. So, I mean, who knows what the world will look like in 50, 100 years.
But it has an ISBN for a start, so it is unique.
Right, exactly. I mean, we can pick up books from the 1800s still and read them. Like, people read Dickens all the time, and like, I'm no Dickens. Like, that's not happening. Right? But it's still something that will live forever, and people could potentially find it, refer to it, and like, and build your legacy, basically.
Yeah, and that's a great note to end on, legacy content. Mm-hmm. Andy, where can people find out more about you?
Well, andystorch.com is the main website where I've got everything there. I'm very active on LinkedIn if you want to come connect with me there and tell me you heard me on Mark's show. And then, you know, I'm creating lots of content, the book, the podcast. Like I said, everything is on that website. I have bonus resources on my website too. That's like the 5 steps to owning your career and stuff like that. But it all goes through that main website, andystorch.com.
Andy, thank you again.
Thank you, Mark.
Huge thanks to Andy for being my guest this week. And thank you, Andy, also for being perhaps unwittingly my final guest in the podcast, at least for now. There might be some return opportunity at some point where there's a different form or format of the podcast. But before I sign off, I would just again like to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all the years, all the listenership, all the loyalty, all the love, I guess, as well. It's been a real joy. It's been a pleasure. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but it'll be more of an emphasis on the training that I'm doing with my clients and also some of the associate work I'm doing with other people's clients. And I'm getting lots of value from that. So you will see me at some point or hear from me at some point. There will be the trainingbusiness.com website still going. That's going to be, I think, revamped later on this year. But keep an ear out. You might hear me back on the airwaves, and certainly I'll be on the Sales Coach podcast, my other podcast, for the remaining couple of months of this year. And you will see me, if you want to, over on LinkedIn Learning. I'll have a couple of courses going live sometime in Q2 this year. I'm not sure when, but you'll find them over on linkedinlearning.com. And that's it. So for the final time, thank you for your listenership. Thank you for your love, your loyalty, and for letting me and my guests entertain you these past 6.5 years. This has been the Training Business Podcast. At some point, I'm sure our paths will cross. Bye for now.
Thanks once more for listening to this episode of the TrainingBusiness.com podcast. See you next time.